Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy, for Thy kindness to the children of men. We thank Thee for the love with which Thou hast provided for us what we need. We thank Thee that Thou hast made all Thy power available to us here upon earth as we would turn ourselves over to Thee. We pray now as we come to study Thy Word that Thou wilt open our hearts to understand. May Thy Holy Spirit take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us, and help us to grow in these things. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. We're continuing in our study in the book of Matthew, and we'll be following along now in a discussion of the meaning of the story of the rich young ruler. In our last study, we noticed this young man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him what he should do that he might have eternal life, the life of God in him, the joyous, cheerful, gracious, kindly, strong way of living that the young man looked at and wanted to have. And the Lord Jesus had told him what to do, that he should sell his property, that is, transfer the ownership of his property, and you and I today would say that he should adopt the principle of stewardship. He should understand that the things that he has are not his own, that he should use what he has on behalf of people not as fortunate as he, that he should deny himself, and he should yield himself to do the will of God. Then you will remember that we read that the young man, when he heard that saying, went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And now our attention is drawn in the next few verses to a discussion of what this will mean. When the young man had gone away because he had great possessions, and the story seems to imply that at that time he did not yield, whether he ever did, the Bible doesn't tell us. But that young man went away sorrowful, sad, because the cost was going to be so great. He had so much, and the Lord Jesus told him he would just have to give up what he had and give it over to God if he was going to follow him. Then said, I'm reading now in Matthew chapter 19 in verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, look at that for a moment. A rich man. A man may be rich in money. He may be rich in other things. Anything you have that gives you an advantage. You may have a strong family. You're rich. You may have a good education. You're rich. You may have a strong physique and be physically strong. You're rich. You may have a beautiful appearance, and you may be what people would call a beautiful person. You're rich. Anything that gives you an advantage over other people. Now, the Lord Jesus says that a rich man, a person with advantages, shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the word hardly doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means it can hardly be done, and not only that it might be scarcely, that's not exactly, but it means on a hard basis. It can be done, but it will involve something if such a person is to enter into the kingdom. He can get in, but it won't be easy. And then in verse 24 comes something that I'm sure you've all heard and many of you have wondered about. Again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I can remember when I first became a Christian, when I read that, I just shook my head. That would just be utterly impossible. So let us look at it a little bit more closely. When it speaks of the eye of the needle, let me tell you right now, he's not speaking of Singer sewing machines. Because after all, they didn't have them in those days. There's no indication that this necessarily means a sewing machine such as you and I know at all. Well, then what will we say? And here I am indebted to people who have studied about this and have checked back on the cultures of the times, and I'm going to tell you what I have heard that I think makes sense. It appears that in the walls of the cities, You remember those walls were built to keep out marauders, robbers. Back in the days when police forces were not in charge of everything all the time, and soldiers were needed to protect people against the robbers and thieves, it was common for the cities to be built with walls that kept out the enemy. These walls were to be built with one large gate which allowed the caravans of camel with merchandise on them, laden camels, to come through. Those gates were usually open from sunrise till sunset. That would be the big gate that would be open when people could drive through with the camels. Beside the big gate, there was a small gate that you and I would call a pedestrian gate, a gate for people to come in walking on foot. It was a smaller gate and big enough for an individual person to come through, but you see, not big enough to let a caravan through, not big enough to let a large number of soldiers through or robbers through at one time. Now this small gate, I understand, was called the Eye of the Needle. And this, to my mind, makes meaning of this now. You see, a camel could go through that small gate, which was designed for a man on foot, for a pedestrian. He could get through that gate all right, but he would need to unload his baggage. He'd have to take off all his merchandise that he had on him. And they tell me, with the camel as tall as he is, it would be necessary for the camel to get on his knees to squirm through the gate. Now, a camel could get on his knees and squirm through that gate. He could enter in the Eye of the Needle. And that was the name of that particular pedestrian gate. He could get through, but it would be hardly. He'd have to take off his baggage and get on his knees to get through. Now, I realize when you're thinking about a rich man that this is a very pat interpretation, but I think it's true, just exactly the way in which it is written. And I think that's exactly the way in which it is. A rich man can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but only on condition that he lays aside his riches. That's number one. That's what he told the rich young ruler to do. The other, that he gets on his knees, that he humbles himself. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, said, "Who then can be saved? Who will ever be inclined to do this if you have to give up what you've got and humble yourself in this fashion?" But Jesus beheld them and said, "With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible." And I would say something like this about that. I would say that you would not be able to persuade a human being to become a Christian on the basis of human considerations. I think if you were trying to persuade a man on the basis of the things of this world that he ought to become a Christian, he'd have many reasons for stopping short. But with God it's not impossible, because God can touch the heart. You remember when Peter believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember how the Lord turned to him after Peter had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You remember how the Lord Jesus turned to him and said, "Blessed art thou, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." This is the same idea. And you and I might just have in mind for ourselves that if we have an inward, deep conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we got that from above. That's something that came from God. That's not the result of human figuring. And that's the way it would be here. And now we go on in verse 27 to a question that Peter raised. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Many times I hear people saying about this, talking about it in such a way as to make out that Peter was not very nice when he raised this question. I have never had that feeling personally. I think this is not an improper interest. Here is a man who has a chance to find out something, and he has followed the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will remember, Peter was a fisherman. He forsook his nets and followed the Lord Jesus. And now when he has just seen the Lord Jesus tell this rich young ruler that he has to forsake his property in order to follow him, that Peter asks him a question. He says, "Now we did that. We forsook everything we had. What have we therefore? What will be the result? What is the consequence?" Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me, the people who gave up this world and followed the Lord, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now much of that will escape us in various ways, but one thing is sure. Those who believe in him will be with him. And when the time comes for God to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ, those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ will be with him. But now verse 29 tells us something we can grasp a little bit more closely. Everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. This is to say that if for any reason we do suffer loss in this world, because we've given up things, and some of us know what it is, that we gave up opportunities in business, we gave up chance to make money, we may have given up friends and an opportunity of being around with them, in order that we might draw nearer to the Lord. Any number of times this will occur. Some of you who are listening will have had this challenge before you, that if you were going to seek the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and do the things that were pleasing to him, you were actually going to turn away from some other people and some other interests that were asking you to come with them. The Lord Jesus said there isn't anybody that forsakes anything in this world for me, coming to me, but will receive an hundredfold. That is to say, so far as this world is concerned, you'll receive much more than you ever gave up and shall inherit everlasting life. In addition to that, you will have the life of God in your own soul, because everlasting life will be satisfying, it will be strong, it will be joyous. Your experience in the Lord will be wonderful. And now notice again, so far as this is concerned, it isn't a matter of saying that you'll receive 100-fold times more money, but the very things that you endured in the loss, you will more than receive in this world according to the Lord. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us in this to understand thy promise and to walk with thee, and give us the grace in our own hearts to forsake anything we would have cherished and held for ourselves, that we might walk with thee. Put it into our hearts to look into thy face and to count thy favor and thy blessing more important than anything else in the world. We will give thee the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen.